Okay, hello everyone. This week's parasha is Parashat Ki Tavo. Parashat Ki Tavo begins with the mitzvah of Bikurim. Just want to make sure everyone can hear me. Give me a thumbs up. Excellent. Okay, great. So Parashat Ki Tavo begins with the mitzvah of Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim, it says like this, the pasuk says like this. Listen very carefully. V'haya Ki Tavo el ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha nachala v'yushta v'yashavta ba. And it will be when you will come into the land, into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem your God will, that Hashem your God will give you, will inherit to you, and you will settle there. Then it says the next pasuk, "V'lakachta mirashit kol pri ha'adama asher tavi me'atzecha," and you will take from the first fruits of the ground, from the land, asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach, from the land that Hashem has given you, v'samta batena, and then put it in a basket, and then bring it to the Bet HaMikdash, and that's the mitzvah. And the next few psukim go on to explain what exactly he does during that mitzvah, the things that he says, and that he gives it, and then he gives it to the Kohen. Okay? So the question is as follows. Question number one is just very, very interesting, that in the introduction to this mitzvah, hello Ariel and Amram, great to see you. We just started. So in the introduction to the mitzvah of Bikurim, Hashem, the Torah has to tell us, yeah, when you take from the first fruits of the land, which land? The land that Hashem gave you. The Torah has to remind us that Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael. Specifically over here in the middle of this mitzvah. What's going on over here? The Torah never tells us, never writes, not even one extra letter. Not one extra word, not even one extra letter. And the Torah goes on to give us four extra words, right? Five extra words. Asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach. When you take from the first fruits of the land, Asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach. Of the land that Hashem has given you. What's going on? What's that all about? That's question number one. We're going to ask five questions, and we're going to answer all of them with one answer. So pay close attention. Question number two, where is it that you bring the Bikurim? Who can tell me? Where do you bring it to?
Bet HaMikdash.
You bring the Bikurim to the Bet HaMikdash. Excellent. You bring the Bet HaMikdash. Why specifically there? Why can't you just go to your backyard, open up a sidu, say a few words, and then finished? Why can't you just go to the Kohen's house, knock on his door and say, hey, I need to give this to you, Kohen, Mr. Kohen, Rabbi Kohen. Take the first fruits and enjoy them. And then open up the Sidu, make a bracha, whatever it is. You have to go to the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Why specifically there? That's question number two. Question number three is that the Gemara in Kiddushin and the Mishnayot in Bikurim tell us about the really bizarre ceremony that had to be done for the person that was bringing the Bikurim. Okay, it was a whole big ceremony that was done. What was the ceremony? So he brought it in this basket, and the basket had to be a very fancy basket, right? The basket had to be lined with very, very fancy stuff, and then he would carry it all the way to Yerushalayim. Not only that, anyone that would see him on the way would start singing for him. Anyone that would see him had to travel with him and dance with him until he got to the Beit HaMikdash. And not only that, the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us a very, very interesting halacha, that you know, guys, that when a chacham, when a rabbi walks on the street, okay, you're mechuyav to stand up for him. You have to stand up and you have to pay him respect. That's a halacha. When an old person passes by, you need to stand up and pay him respect. Very good. Now, what happens if you're in the middle of a job? I see that Joe is in the middle of a job right now. Joe is working very, very hard. You guys will find out another time what Joe is doing. Not for now. But you're in the middle of a job. Okay? You're getting paid. You have a boss. Your boss is paying you by the hour, let's say. And a chacham passes by. A rabbi passes by. A zaken, an old person, passes by. Are you obligated to stop working in order to respect him, to stand up for him? What's the answer? No, absolutely not. You're getting paid by the boss. The boss is paying you. You're not allowed to stop working and doing what you're doing. You're going to cause your boss a loss of money. That's called stealing. You're not allowed to do that. However, says the Gemara in Kiddushin, when this person, this regular, normal Jew, ordinary Jew, as they say in Yiddish, this Pashut Yid is passing by with his basket with one little grape inside of it, with the first fruits that he plucked off of his tree, and he's traveling on his way to Yerushalayim, right? And you're in the middle of a job, you're working, and you see this person, and it's like a, you know, Hachnasat Sefer Torah, they're passing by, they're singing for him, they're dancing for him, and you know, you pass, you see him, oh, wow, what's going on, Hachnasat Sefer Torah? No, it's just the person that's carrying a little grape in his basket, bringing it, it's the first fruits, bringing it to the Beit HaMikdash. Oh, what's the halacha? You need to stop working and stand up and pay respect to the person who's bringing Bikurim. Wow, that is bizarre. What is the deal with this mitzvah? It's more important to stop working, cause your boss a loss of money, and stop working for the person who's bringing the Bikurim. One little fig, one little grape, one little olive. It's more important to stand up for him than to stand up for a chacham. What's going on? That's question number three. Question number four is smack in the middle of the parasha. We have a lot of curses. Okay? No one wants the aliyah where all the curses are said, right? No one wants that aliyah. There's a custom that it's given to the rabbi, because the rabbi could handle all the curses, right? No one else could handle the curses. So I don't know. But anyways, the pasuk says that before all those curses, that all the Shvatim will go in between two mountains, Har Grizim and Har Eval, in between two mountains. So six Shvatim would go on this mountain, the other six would go on the other mountain, and then Shevet Levi would go in the middle, and then cursed be the one who does this. Cursed, and then the people on one of the mountains would say Amen. Cursed be the one that does this, and the people on the other mountain would say Amen, and back and forth, Amen, Amen, Amen. But before all of that, the Levi'im would announce, Baruch, blessed is the person, Baruch Ha'ish, blessed is the person, is the man, Asher lo yase pesel umasecha, that he will not make for himself an idol, an image that he will serve, that he will worship. And everyone answers Amen. So two questions. First of all, what's the deal? Why are we introducing all the curses with the bracha? And second of all, what's this bracha over here? Usually you give a bracha to someone who does something good. Over here, we're giving a bracha to someone he's not doing something good, he's just not doing something bad. That's all he's doing. He's not doing something that he's not allowed to do. Right? So, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to bless you, Amram. I'm going to bless you so much that Baruch Hashem, you should be blessed. You've never murdered anyone in your life. You deserve a blessing. What does that mean? Blessed be the one who doesn't make an idol and worship it. That deserves a blessing. He didn't do anything. What did he do? That's question number four. Question number five is just a very general question. What does all of this have to do with Rosh Hashanah, which is rapidly approaching? These parashiyot are always around the same time as, it's always in Elul and always around the same time as Rosh Hashanah. So it begs the question, there is no coincidence in life. What is the connection between this parasha and what we just discussed and the upcoming high holiday of Rosh Hashanah? Fasten your seatbelts. We're going to give one answer. It's going to answer all of these questions. And it's all answered from a mashal from the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says in this week's parasha in the mitzvah of Bikurim, let's say you have a king. The king appointed a farmer to plant a field that belongs to the king and to care for it. The farmer planted it. He planted a vineyard with grapes. After a while, it grew very, very nicely. When the first grapes came out, the farmer plucked it off, brought it to the king, and said to the king, "Wow, look how delicious my grapes look." So what do you think the king said? The king said, "Your grapes? They're my grapes." But the king said, you know what, all right, fine. Listen, he probably wasn't really paying attention. The king said, "Wow, okay, so it looks good, great. Can I try one?" And the person says, "No, they're mine. I'm not going to let you try. I worked very hard. It's mine." What do you think the king did immediately? He took this guy, smacked him over the head, He called all his servants, take this guy, get him out of here, I don't want to see this guy ever again, and give me back my field. It's a king's field. On the other hand, let's say this story would have happened a little differently. Let's say the farmer would go to the king, bring those first fruits, and say, Your Majesty, here are your delicious fruits. Would you like to try one? The king would be so proud, would be so happy, he would have so much gratitude to the farmer. The king would say, "You know what? I would love to try it, and tell this farmer that he should feel free to take whatever he wants from the field." That's the mashal. The nimshal is that the whole point of the mitzvah of bikurim is to recognize that all we have comes from Hashem. We need to understand that every single thing that we possess, whether it be a car, a house, or even a small little grape or a fig that grows off of a tree, it all comes to us because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. That's why when the Torah introduces the mitzvah of Bikurim, what does it say? When you will go to your field, which field? Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lach. The field that Hashem has given you. Oh, why is the Torah just throwing it in there? We know Hashem gave us the Eretz Yisrael. No, because that's the whole point of this mitzvah of Bikurim. That is the essence of the mitzvah of Bikurim. To understand, to remember, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lach. Hashem gave me this field. This is Hashem's, it's not my field. You're not doing God any favors by bringing Him this one little grape. It all belongs to Him anyways. It's not yours. So that, Rabbatai, answers question number one. Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lach, that is the name, that is the label of this mitzvah. It's the most important part of this mitzvah. To recognize, to acknowledge that everything comes from Hashem. And that's why question number two, we asked, what was question number two? Question number two, we asked, why does it have to specifically be brought to the Beit HaMikdash? Why does the Bikurim, why does he have to bring it, carry it all the way to the Beit HaMikdash? That was the second question. So, the answer to that question is obvious. Where are you bringing this? You're bringing it to the Beit HaMikdash. What's in the Beit HaMikdash? Hashem's presence. Hashem's presence is felt in the strongest way in the Beit HaMikdash. In fact, today as well, the Kotel Amar, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash anymore. We have the Kotel. But the Gemara tells us, "Lo'olam lo zaza shchina mikotel ma'aravi." The shchina has never left the kotel ma'aravi. What do you mean? We know the famous children's song. Hashem is here. Hashem is there. Hashem is truly everywhere. What does that mean? That the shchina is there by the kotel? No, of course Hashem is everywhere. But you feel Hashem's presence much more in the kotel. It's much more revealed by the kotel. And however much revealed it is by the Kotel, it's 1,000,000 times more revealed in the actual Beit HaMikdash. You feel Hashem there. Where should you bring the mitzvah? Where should you bring the Bikurim? To the Beit HaMikdash, where you feel Hashem, where you're going to say to yourself, "Oh, of course, this is where these fruits came from. Hashem gave me these fruits." That's the whole point of the mitzvah. So, Rabotai, why do people get angry? People get angry sometimes. We all get angry. But why is it? The Gemara even tells us that one who gets angry, it's as if he's worshipping idols. Very, very bad. Why? What's a big deal? Sometimes people feel that the big events in life are controlled by Hashem. The big things, you know, there's an explosion here, an earthquake. These big major things are attributed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the minor, everyday events, they're not controlled by Hashem, they're controlled by nature. Why did my kippah fly away with the wind? Why when I put my hand in my pocket, did I pick a nickel instead of a quarter? Why are the New York Mets so bad? Why is it raining right now? All these small little everyday things. You never say to yourself, "Yeah, Hashem is making this happen." You think, "Yeah, nature is making this happen." In fact, the exact opposite is true. The Midrash tells us that not even a single strand, a single blade of grass will grow without Hashem giving the green light. You know what that means? You walk outside, you see grass. A lot of grass. In Washington Heights, you don't see too much grass. But when you go to Long Island, you know, you'll see a lot more grass. You know? How much grass is there? A lot of grass. Not even one strand of grass will grow without Hashem saying, grow. Without Hashem saying, to, even the smallest little aspects in the creation are controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem controls every aspect of the creation and the existence of the world. When an event takes place, if only a person would activate his emunah and to understand that this is happening because Hashem wants it to happen, then it would take much more to get a person angry. If that's the way that you would live life, you would never get angry. You would never get angry. So when a person doesn't think like that, and he really wants, he attributes events that happen in the world to other things other than Hashem, in a way, says the Gemara, that's similar to Avodah Zarah. You're saying that the world is being created, is being run, being controlled by something or someone else other than Hashem. By that, the definition of that is, in other words, Avodah Zarah. That's exactly what it is. Someone who gets angry, it's Kilu, he's worshiping Avodah Zarah. There's nothing more important than the mitzvah of Bikurim and the message behind it. Nothing is more important than that. Now it makes sense to us, guys, that we make such a big deal when the farmer is traveling from his house all the way to the Beit HaMikdash. It makes a lot of sense now. You stop working. Whatever you're doing, and you go follow this person, and you go sing with him, you go dance with him. I'm causing my boss a loss of money? Doesn't matter. This is the whole purpose of us living in this world, to recognize Hashem. You see a person traveling, bringing one little grape from his house all the way to Yerushalayim, and recognizing that everything comes from Hashem, that person needs respect, that person needs recognition. In the middle of the parasha, the Torah tells us the various curses. We're on to question number 4 now. Various curses that will come to people who do certain avirot. And before that, the Torah tells us that the Levi'im would actually bless. The Levi'im would bless anyone who doesn't do any idols, doesn't worship idols. You're going to get a blessing for not doing something horrible. What does that mean? So sometimes we think, guys, that our fortune is totally in our hands. How much money we make is completely dependent on our own efforts and nature. But in fact, that's not true. The more a person understands that everything is in Hashem's hands, the more bracha your money will have. The more bracha you will have in life. A person who lives life with emunah will have blessing in his money, will have blessing in his possessions. Hashem is going to see and say, wow, he really respects and appreciates everything I do for him. I'm going to give him more. I'm going to give him more, like the mashal we explained from the Al Sheikh. When that farmer came to the king and said, here are your delicious fruits. They're yours. They're so delicious. Would you like to have some? The king is so flattered. The king is going to say, of course, I want to taste it, but you could have as much as you want. That's what the king's going to say. A person who lives life with emunah, guys, not only will his money, his financial status, and all of those things, not only those things are going to have blessing, but he's going to have a better quality of life. He's going to have less stress. He's going to have less anxiety. He's going to have less worries. He's going to worry about less things. There are so many studies that prove that that people who are religious, not only Jews, but people who are religious and they have faith, whoever the faith is in, whether it's in a false god or a real god, but they have faith and they believe, they're less prone to having anxiety and stress. There's an individual that I know. He's completely broke. All right, he's completely broke. Doesn't have any money. He has, I think, about $4,000 to his name. That's about it. Nothing. Doesn't own anything. He's living in...
You don't have to call me out like that.
He's living in, you know, like a subsidized home by the government, you know, for people who don't have money. You know, his rent is like $800 a month, like nothing, really, really nothing. He lives alone. He's older. He's maybe close to 70. He's never been married, no kids, lives alone, has no job, literally has no life. Literally has no life. Has no money to his name. Okay? This person literally today told me, if I would have to do it all over, I wouldn't even want to win the lottery. I said to him, Ma, are you crazy? You wouldn't want to win the lottery? He said, if I would have to do it all over, there are certain decisions that I made in life that if I made those decisions, I would have been a millionaire right now. He had maybe 200 shares in Amazon like 10 years ago. Okay? So he said, there's so many, and I sold it right away, he said. He said, there's so many different things. If I would have done it differently, I said, so do you have any regrets? He said, not a single regret. I'm happy exactly where I am now. If I would have much more money, I know that I would not be this happy. I would not be this happy. He's literally hasn't paid rent in 6 months since Corona started. But only because of the law right now, they can't kick him out of his apartment. He's broke. He has nothing to his name. But he's happy. And he told me, if I had more money, I don't know if I would be happier. He's so much happier now with the life that he has. That's an understanding that everything comes from Hashem. He is where he is, and he's okay with it. To answer question number 5, on Rosh Hashanah, what's Rosh Hashanah all about? On Rosh Hashanah we say, Avinu Malkenu, our Father, our King. We start saying, HaMelech HaKadosh, the Holy King. The day of Rosh Hashanah, it's a day that we crown Hashem. We crown Hashem, we announce to the entire world that Hashem is the King. Hashem Hu Elokim. Hashem is the King, the Master of the world. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Leolam Vaed. We crown Hashem as the King over the universe. What does that mean? Everything that we just said. It means Bikurim. It means understanding that Hashem is in control of everything. It means Hashem causes one strand of grass to grow. It means Hashem causes for all the events in the world to happen. It means Hashem, believe it or not, is behind coronavirus. It means Hashem, believe it or not, was behind the Holocaust. Do we know why? Do we know what these things are about? We don't know these things. And in fact, we shouldn't be wasting our time trying to make calculations to understand why Hashem does certain things, because you're never going to get to the bottom of it. We're just supposed to live life with emunah, with the understanding that Hashem is making everything happen and it's for our best. I want to end off with a story that I read. The story, such a beautiful story. There was a Bachur Yeshiva, a young Bachur Yeshiva in Israel that was learning in his yeshiva. In his yeshiva, there was the custom that the younger guys, the non-married guys, would have a chavruta with the older guys in the kolel. Fine. He had a chavruta with an older guy in the kolel, and the guy in the kolel said to him, "What do you want to learn?" So he said, "I don't know, whatever you want to learn." You know, like that relationship, you know? "Well, what do you want? I don't know, whatever you want. I don't know, whatever you, what do you want, what do you want, what do you want?" Finally, they agreed upon Shabbat. Okay, they start learning Hilchot Shabbat, but not regular Hilchot Shabbat like Bishul and Borer and stuff like that. They started learning the Hilchot Shabbat about the importance of spending money for Shabbat. Okay, Kavod Shabbat, honoring Shabbat by buying things for Shabbat. Fine, and they started learning about the fact that when a person spends money on Shabbat, it does not come out of his income. We know the it's coming up in a couple of weeks, Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara tells us that a person's income is set from one Rosh Hashanah to the next Rosh Hashanah. That's why we daven so much for Parnassah and everything. So a person's income is set. You're going to make X amount of money. However, the money that you spend on Shabbat, on Yom Tov, and on Talmud Torah, on learning Torah for you, for your children, it does not come out of that bank. It's not going to come out of your income. It's house money. It doesn't get lost. Okay? And basically, you're going to get paid back for that money. No matter what your income is going to be that year, you're going to get that money back, says the Gemara. So they learned that halacha, that the money that you spend for Shabbat, you're going to get back, you don't lose out. Fine. A couple of weeks later, this young Bachur, he was broke also, he didn't really have much money. Him and some of his friends decided, let's go take a nice Shabbat, you know, a nice. Let's go away for a nice weekend in Tzfat. And everyone loves going to Tzfat, but you know, if you're going to Tzfat, you need to come prepared, you need to buy, you know, food to bring for yourself, you need to rent a hostel, rent a motel, or, you know, I don't know how many Airbnbs there are in Tzfat, but you need to like rent something for him and his friends. So he didn't really have much money. There was one person in the group that was in charge of tallying all the costs, and he came and he said, you know what, we're going to pay for, I'll lay out everything, and we're going to split it four ways, because we're four people, and then we're going to, at the end, everyone's just going to pay me back. He said, okay, fine. They got on, and all the expenses, the bus expense, and the hotel, and the food, and so on and so forth. Fine. They made it there. They had a really, really, really geschmack Shabbat. Beautiful Shabbat. They went to Kivrei Tzadikim before Shabbat. They went to Mikveh of the Arizal. They went to all the beautiful, the Breslov Shul and Tzfat. Beautiful, beautiful yeshiva over there. They went to all the hot spots in Tzfat. At Motzei Shabbat, you know, came time for Motzei Shabbat. They're ready to head back. Ready to head back. So the person said, all right, nu, time to pay me back. Okay, how much do I owe you? He said, 388 shekel and 60 agurot. How do I remember the amount? You'll soon see how I remember the amount. 388 shekel and 60 agurot. Remember that, guys. And the person said, okay, yeah, Hashem is going to pay you back. So the guy that laid out the money said, what is that, a joke? He said, no, Hashem is going to pay you back. He said, what do you mean? You owe me money. I laid out the money. I paid for you. Pay me back the money. He said, no, you don't know the Gemara in Shabbat. You don't know the Gemara. I think it's Rosh Hashanah. You don't know the Gemara? Huh. The expenses that you spend on Shabbat, you're going to get paid back. Hashem's going to pay you back for it. I'm not paying you back. Hashem's going to pay you back. That's what he said. The guy saw, wow, what I'm dealing with over here. Hashem, Yishmo, this guy's not going to pay me. It's a lot of money. That's 388 shekel and 60 agorot. What am I going to do? So he dropped it. They got back on the bus. They got home. When that person got home, the one who laid out all the money, his parents told him, oh, your future in-laws, he was engaged, he was getting married shortly afterwards. He said, your future in-laws dropped off a little gift for you. What did they drop off? Oh, they dropped off a wallet. Here you go. He saw, wow, they actually dropped off a wallet. That's so funny. Guys, have you ever heard of future in-laws buying their future son-in-law a wallet? Pretty weird, right? Not only that, he opened it up and he saw money in it. He said, wow, there's money in it. He saw a little note, and in the note it said, yeah, we wanted to give you like a nice little gift. You're going to be our chatan. We decided to give you every single bill and coin in the Israeli currency. Okay, he started counting. A 200 shekel bill. A 100 shekel bill, a 50 shekel bill, a 20 shekel bill. That comes out to how much so far? 370 shekel. Okay? A 10 shekel coin, 380 shekel. A 5 shekel coin, 385 shekel. A 2 shekel coin, 387 shekel. A 1 shekel coin, 388 shekel. 50 agurot. And another 10 agurot coin. 388 shekel and 60 agurot. The exact amount of money that each person had to pay in order to take this trip to Tzfat. Hashem paid him back. When a person lives life with emunah, he has no worries. Sometimes you're going to see Hashem paying you back with your own eyes like this individual did. Sometimes you won't. But the idea is to always have emunah and belief that nothing happens for no reason. Everything happens for a reason. Not only for a reason, everything happens for your best. For you. To live life with this mitzvah of Bikurim, to understand and to attribute, to acknowledge everything that happens in this world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you do that, you're going to be showered with osher, wealth, happiness, bracha, parnasa, briyut, and all the good things in the world. I thank everyone.